The reading is on page 1000 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 62. That's on page 1000. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Easter, everyone, we're going to look at that passage together. Should we ask for God's help as we do that? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we have the privilege of meeting in freedom today, and we can look at your word, and that you're here with us, and we pray that you would give us understanding, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Right, now we're going to look at that passage, but before we do that, we're going to play a game, okay? We're going to play Hide the Bear, okay? So I've got a teddy bear, I'm going to hide the bear, and then you've got to see if you can see where the bear is, okay? So what I need you to do is to close your eyes. I'm not kidding, okay? So you close your eyes, or cover your eyes, okay? Absolutely no peeking while I'm just going to hide the bear. No peeking until I say. Right, oh, sorry. Actually, you can open your eyes. Okay. So just so you know what you're looking for. Okay, so here's the bear. Here's the bear. Okay, right, so that's what you're looking for. It just gives you a sense of, you know, the kind of thing that might be the shape and colour and that kind of thing. Okay, got it? Clock the bear? Yeah? Right, close your eyes. Right. Okay, open your eyes. Right, okay, now look around, you have to look all around, okay, you might look sort of maybe under the seats, okay, or on the, see we've got very nice, Sally's done some beautiful flower displays on the windows, maybe look around those, okay, up high, down low, Okay, right. Now, does anyone think they can see the bear? Anyone see the bear? Oh, right. Oh, Joshua, you think you can see the bear? Where do you think the bear is? Where? Over here. Okay, right. Should we see if Joshua's right? Oh, you got it. Yeah. There it is. Oh, well spotted. Your eagle eye. Very good. It's really hard to hide something very big, isn't it? It is really hard to hide something very big. It's very hard to hide this teddy bear because he is so big. And you know, something really big happened on Easter Sunday. Something absolutely massive happened on Easter Sunday. Something so big that it changes everything. It changes the world. It will change our lives. If it is true, it changes everything. Nothing should be the same again. Jesus rose from the dead. It changes everything. It's the biggest and best news in all of history. It gives us confidence before God. It tells us that this life is not all there is. There is life beyond the grave. It's so big, but you know, some people wanted to hide it when it happened. That's what happened that first Easter Sunday, or even just before, as we heard just now when Angela was reading. We're going to think about the story again. I'm going to show some pictures for the children. If you're around here, all you're missing is some pictures of what's in the passage, okay? But just as we go back again and see what happened. So remember that on Good Friday, Jesus died on a cross. And, his friends had abandoned him, his disciples. There were some women who you can see in the picture there, who were watching from a distance. They knew him well. And, of course, they were so sad because Jesus died. And then Jesus' dead body was taken by someone who was a follower of Jesus, a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He took the body. He went to Pilate. He got permission. He took the body. And there he's wrapping the body, the dead body of Jesus, in linen, and then he placed it in a tomb that was cut out of a rock, and he rolled a big stone across the entrance. And the people who did those pictures decided to not do a picture of that. I don't know why, but there you are. But that's what he was about to do when he wrapped the body, as you can see there. Now, the people who had wanted to get rid of Jesus, the people who had got him arrested, and then the people who had sort of made up all kinds of lies about him at his trial to make sure that he was condemned to death, they looked like they'd succeeded, didn't they? Jesus was dead, body's in the tomb, it looks like they have won. But then the next day, they remember something that Jesus had said. They remember Jesus said something about after 3 days, he would rise again. So the chief priests and Pharisees, they went back to Pilate and they said, you've got to make sure that body doesn't go anywhere. You've got to make sure that it's closely guarded and no one can touch the body, so that otherwise Jesus' disciples, they're going to come and take the body and then they're going to say he's risen from the dead. And so Pilate gives the order that there should be maximum security. And you can see it there. So there's the tomb and the big stone. And there's a wax seal that they put on the stone. So that's put there so you can tell straight away if the stone has been moved. And then a guard was posted as well. So there'd been a couple of guards there. And these Roman guards, it was their job to, you know, to make sure that nobody got in or out of that tomb. And basically, if they failed on that job, then that was it, that their life was over. So maximum security. So can you see, there are people, what are they wanting to do? They're wanting to hide any idea that Jesus might rise from the dead. They don't even want anyone to talk about the idea that Jesus has risen from the dead. And then did you hear about at the end, even after Jesus rose, they try to cover it up. They give the soldiers lots of money and they say, tell you what, here's loads of money. You need to say that you fell asleep, and while you were asleep, the disciples stole the body. Which is it's not a very good excuse, is it? Because if they were asleep, how would they know that the disciples stole the body. It just doesn't really add up, doesn't it? It's just desperate people trying to hide what has clearly happened. And Matthew's trying to show us that. Desperate people trying to hide what's happened. But it's impossible to hide something this big. So let's see what actually happens. On the first Easter Sunday, some women go to Jesus' tomb. Here they are. They're on the way to the tomb. They're the same women. They saw Jesus crucified, and they saw his body placed in the tomb, so they know exactly where they are going. But they weren't expecting Jesus to rise. They were expecting just to visit his tomb. But suddenly, everything changes. An angel appears, not like just like a cute angel dressed in white with tinsel in his hair. This is an angel who looks like lightning, and he appears. And we're told that when he comes down, he goes to the tomb, he rolls the stone away, and he sits on it. So there's this great, dazzling angel there. We're told that the guards, when the guards see him, did you see in the passage? When the guards see him, it says they shake and become like dead men. And there's something quite fun about that, isn't there? So these guards, their job is to guard a dead man. But now, the dead man is not really dead anymore. And now the guards who are supposed to be guarding the dead man have become sort of like dead men themselves. But then the angel speaks to the women. So here's the angel speaking to the women. And one thing we learn in the Gospels is when an angel appears, it doesn't happen very often. When an angel appears, it's a messenger from God. You've got to listen. Remember how angels appeared at the time of Jesus' birth, announcing all of that? And now an angel has appeared again. We've got to listen carefully. And the angel says in verse 5, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." And so the angel encourages them to go and have a look. So isn't that great? See, the women, they saw Jesus die. They saw his body placed in the tomb. And then the angel, got to listen to the angel, says, "Look, and you'll see where he was. And he's not there anymore. He's gone." Why? Because he's risen just as he said. Jesus said he would rise. And the angel says that he has. Now, how can they be absolutely sure of that? Well, the angel goes on and says, "Right, go now. I want you to go and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurry off. And can you imagine how those women felt as they left the tomb that morning? They're a bit excited and they're a bit afraid. Can it be true? Is it really true? Is Jesus really alive again? And then we're told in verse 9, just see this amazing moment, verse 9. "Then Jesus met them." Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And we're told they came to him, they clasped his feet and worshipped him. It's him. It's true. He's really alive. And verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me too." And so the women hurry off with great joy, because they've got that good news inside their hearts, the good news that we still celebrate today, that Jesus is risen. He is risen and alive. It cannot be hidden. Just see these feeble attempts to explain it away. The disciples hadn't stolen the body. Of course they hadn't stolen the body. Do you know, most of those disciples, they died because they proclaimed the message that Jesus had risen from the dead. They wouldn't have given their lives for something that they knew was a lie. No, it's too big to be hidden. It's true to be hidden. Jesus said he would rise. An angel announced it has happened. You've got to listen to the angels. He was seen by eyewitnesses, people who knew him well, people who saw him die, people who saw him buried. They saw him, they met him, they touched him. He's alive. And of course, they were only the first. Luke tells us about some people traveling on the Emmaus Road. They met Jesus. And then John tells us that the disciples met Jesus when Thomas wasn't there, and then they met him again when Thomas was there. And then Paul says there was one time when up to 500 people saw the risen Jesus at the same time. It's too big to hide. It's too true to hide. Jesus is risen. He is alive. And we're going to think a bit more about what that means for us after we've sung our next song. We're going to sing about the super saviour who rises from the grave. We'll stand with the music. Death crusher, sin smasher. Love it. So good. Right. Jesus is risen. It's too big to hide. It's too true to hide. But what difference does it make to us? If Jesus is risen, then what should we do about it? Well, two things. And we're going to look at the women, two things that the women did. So let's go back to where we were. So Jesus met the women. There he is with them again. And you can see, what are they doing? They're bowing down and treating him as king. We're told Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. We're told they came down and they clasped his feet and they worshipped him. They worshipped him. What are they doing? They're treating him as king. They're treating him as king. And that is what we are called to do at Easter. We're called to recognize Jesus as our king. It's a simple picture there. Jesus with a crown. And that is what we're called to do. God, this is what the resurrection means, part of what it means. God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he is now on the throne in heaven. He is our king. And just think about what kind of a king he is. He is a perfect king. He's a good king. Look, think about the life of Jesus. He's someone you can always trust. He's someone who is always good. Is he not the perfect person to rule your life? He is our perfect king. He has all authority. And so we are called now to live our lives with him as our king, living his way, not our way. So we need to think about that, don't we? We need to think, what does it mean for me to live as Jesus, as my king, when I'm at home, or when I'm at school, or when I'm at work, or when I'm with friends, when I'm with family, or when I'm on my own? What does it mean to live with Jesus as my king? It's important to ask that, because he is my king. He's risen. He's on the throne. So first, we've got to treat him as king. We need to worship him. But also, he is our risen saviour. A picture of the cross there. There's something wonderful about the message that Jesus wants the women to give to the disciples. So let me explain. So here's my good friend David. Here he is. And imagine that one day he comes to me and he says this.
I'm about to go through a terrible time. This is the worst and hardest thing I've ever had to face.
Okay, imagine he says that. But imagine I think, I want nothing to do with you. So I just abandon him. Okay, imagine I do that. And then, imagine somebody says to me,
you're a friend of David's, aren't you? He's going through a terrible time.
David, I don't know who you're talking about. Okay, so just imagine that. And then imagine that a couple of days later, David says this.
That big problem, it's all over now. Everything's sorted. I've got a message I want to give to Julian.
Now, what do you think that message would be? Okay, so the problem's over. I wanted nothing to do with him when he had the problem. The problem's over. What do you think his message for me would be? Well, surely his message would be something like, oh, no, Julian, I was really hurt by how much you let me down. Or, you know, our friendship, it just isn't the same anymore. You'd expect a message like that, wouldn't you? You'd understand that. Well, the disciples let Jesus down more than you can imagine. The disciples abandoned Jesus when he was in trouble, when he was arrested. Jesus' closest friend, Peter, he denied he even knew him. He did it three times. He said, I don't know who you're talking about. But Jesus, to the message to the women in verse 10, just go and have a look at it. It's not quite what the angel says. The angel says, go and tell his disciples. But Jesus' message in verse 10 is, go and tell my brothers. Do you notice that? Go and tell my brothers. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, as he thinks about the disciples, those who've let him down, he sees them as family. His brothers, his family, even though they let him down. And why? Well, because he has died for them. Because he went to the cross to pay for sin, like he said he would. The sin that their sins can't come between them anymore. And that is part of the good news of Easter for us. As Jesus rises from the grave, if we're trusting in him, even though we let him down, even though we disobey him, even though we ignore him, he has paid for our sins. If we're trusting in him, then our sin won't come between us. He sees us as family, as his beloved brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? The writer to the Hebrews picks up on this at one point where he says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And why? Well, it's because of the good news of Easter, because Jesus died for our sins and now he's alive again. He comes to us with a message of grace and mercy. And you know, that can be true for all of us who are here today. Maybe you're brand new looking into Christian things, but if you look to Jesus, risen from the dead, if you turn to him, live with him as your king, and trust in him that he died for your sin, then you are drawn into his family. And that's wonderful news for us to celebrate this Easter day. We're welcomed into God's family as his brothers and sisters. It can't be hidden, and it's the best news in the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the good news of this day, that our Saviour is risen from the dead, and we pray that you would help us to worship him and to trust him. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.